we had looked at the first five commandments that have to do with a vertical relationship to the Lord. We now come to the last five that are much shorter, but they deal with the horizontal relationship to the Lord. And so we begin at verse 13 with the sixth commandment, and they're very short. Lo tirtzach, you shall not murder. Lo is a negative particle, meaning never. In Hebrew, we have al and lo. Al would be like, don't shut the window now. Lo would be, never shut the window. And that's the negative particle that is used here on these last five commandments. And this is called apodictic law. The Lord is giving a commandment. There are some that are casuistic, that is, case laws. If an ox is known to gore, and you don't keep him up, and he gores somebody, then that's a case law. This is apodictic. These are just direct commands from the Lord. And I might say, in the Hammurabi's code, law code, everything is casuistic, case law, where this is apodictic. It's a direct command. And you only find that in the Hebrew Torah. You do not find that in the ancient law codes of the ancient Near East. So what he says here is, never, ever, tirtzach, do violence to another, commit murder to another. And notice, the verb here is from ratzach, with a tav prefix. It's a cal imperfect, second masculine singular from ratza. So you never do violence. And notice, the New Testament talks about this in relationship to especially the teaching of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to just address a little bit of what he says. Notice he says, you have heard that it has been said by them of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders shall be liable for judgment. But I say to you that the one who is angry with his brother shall be liable for judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, or fool, shall be liable for the Sanhedrin, or empty-headed one. And whosoever should say, fool, shall be liable for the Gehenna of fire. Now notice, Jesus is teaching that if you harbor hatred in your heart, it's as though you did violence to your brother. And so it's very important to have an inner attitude of not harboring anger and hatred toward any person. So the sixth commandment is simply, do not do violence. And then in the New Testament, it's applied to the internal thinking of negative thoughts and animosity and hatred of any other person. Jesus said, don't do that. It's as though you've committed violence in your heart and you're in danger of eternal judgment. Then he goes to the seventh commandment, Lo tin af, you shall not commit adultery. Notice again, lo is that negative particle meaning never, and tin af is from the verb na'af, to commit adultery. It is simply, again, the cal imperfect second person singular from na'af, to commit adultery. So the Lord, again, is very clear on never committing adultery. It is significant when we go into the New Testament that if one looks upon a woman, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, looks upon a woman to commit an act of lust, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he goes on to warn that whatever it is that's offending one, one is to take it away lest one be cast into Gehinnom, that is, the valley of Hinnom, which is Gehenna, a picture of eternal judgment, or the eternal judgment that comes to one that rejects the Lord and harbors an attitude of lust in one's heart for the opposite sex. It is interesting that any sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is contrary to what the Torah teaches, to what we find at creation. And even Jesus said in Matthew 19, in the beginning the Lord made male and female, and so they're cleaved to each other. And so any kind of relationship out of that between a man and a woman in marriage, sexual relationship, is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. It is important. Today we live in a culture where people just live together. They're not even married and have sexual relation. This is contrary to the Scriptures. So adultery would be sexual activity apart from a husband and wife in a married relationship according to the Torah and according to the understanding of the commandment here and the teaching of our Lord, even to look upon a woman to lust. I heard the story one time of a seminary president who really loved the Lord intensely. And I'm told that he came into his classroom to teach theology. And he asked the class, which was all men at the time, to say a prayer for him before he started. He wanted to ask the Lord's forgiveness because in getting off of a trolley train, this must have happened, a streetcar, a long time ago, he said, I looked at a lady's calf and I had the wrong thought. And before I teach others theology, I need to ask the Lord to forgive me. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to do that? That man made an impression on many, many people because he was willing to be honest and to pray about his own thinking something in his mind that was not proper. And that's the kind of holiness that the Lord is calling us to. And especially when we go to the New Testament and apply this, you shall not commit adultery. The next commandment is number 8, lo tignov, you shall never ever steal. Again, the negative particle lo, and tignov is from the root ganav, to steal. Notice again, it is just the cow imperfect second person masculine singular from ganav. All of these are imperatival in meaning. That is, they're imperative. Even though it's the cow imperfect, it's used as an imperative here of what one is to never do. And so never ever steal as well as these other commandments. It is interesting that in the New Testament, Paul encourages those in Ephesians to eat their bread by working and not to steal or to defraud in what they do. And again, this teaching comes through all time, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. This encouragement is given over and over. And so we are to do our work. One of the ways that people can rob their employer is not doing their work. Doing only a half job that one is being paid to do. And so we need to be very sincere to never do that which is taking away from someone else. This is the point of this particular commandment. And then we go on to the next commandment, the ninth commandment, Lo ta'aneh v're'echa eid shaker. Do not bear false witness, or do not witness against your neighbor, literally, a lying witness or a false witness. Again, we have the negative particle lo, and then we have the verb ta'aneh, which is from the root ana, which means to bear or to witness. And notice, again, it's the kal imperfect, second masculine singular from ana. Because we have an ayin in the first consonant, we have a hurried pathak, a chatef pathak, and the pathak part of that shifts under the tav in that environment. And that's why we don't have a hirig, as in the other verbs that we've looked at, like tin'af and so forth, because we're looking at an ayin that takes a hurried pathak, a chatef pathak, under the consonant, the first consonant, and hence the pathak part of that shifted under the top. And that's why we have a pathak under the top. We also have a segol instead of an O class vowel or an A class vowel, like in ten off. We have, and by the way, that's because we're in pause there, but here we have a segol. The reason being, probably, is that the final root, ana, was a pe-yod lamed-he verb, anai, that later became lamed-yod verb, anai, that later became a lamed haver. And that final yod seems to have preferred a segol historically. So that's why the segol appears here. So lo ta'aneh, especially instead of an O verb or an A verb, it preferred the segol with the historical yod. So you shall not, and this again is a lamed he verb, you shall not witness against your neighbor. Notice be is the inseparable preposition against, and re'a is the noun meaning neighbor, and re'acha, the ha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So you shall not witness against your neighbor a false witness. Aid is the noun meaning witness, and shaker from sheker means false. Notice the A-class vowel here under the sheen, the long comments, is because at the end of this verse we're in a pausal situation. Segol is lengthening to a comments. So you shall not witness a false witness against your neighbor. In a court, one is to be honest and never bear a witness that is not true against one's neighbor. And so this is probably looking at that type of context, but we could even apply it to slandering our neighbor. It's possible that people can bear false witness in other places other than in a courtroom and can slander their neighbor. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that those who slander others will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be very careful to be honest in our evaluation and statement of others. This is what the ninth commandment is teaching. And then in the verse 14, we have the 10th commandment. Lo tachmod beit re'echa. Lo tachmod eshet re'echa. ועבדו ועמתו ושורו וחמורו וכל אשר לרעך. You shall not covet the house of your neighbor. You shall not covet the wife of your neighbor, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his male ass, nor his ass, nor anything which belongs to your neighbor. Notice again the negative particle lo, you shall never. Tachmod is from the root chamad, to covet. And so notice the text says, you shall not covet. Tachmod, the chet here prefers the pathak under the tav, the chet of the root, the first consonant. And it's interesting that this is just your cow imperfect, second masculine singular from chamad, to covet. So you shall never covet the house of your neighbor. Beit is in construct with reecha. And the noun, bayit, is the noun house. In construct, it becomes beit. And here we have two nouns in construct, the house of your neighbor. Reach means a neighbor. And notice, the segol is added as a helping vowel to get to the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular in the cha, meaning your neighbor, or your next door neighbor, we could say. And so, you don't want to covet somebody else's house, the Torah is saying. Lo tachmod eshet reyecha. You shall not covet the wife of your neighbor. And notice, lo is the negative particle, no, not, or never, and tachmod again is the imperative use of the kal imperfect, second masculine singular from chamad. So you shall not covet eshet reyecha, the wife of your neighbor. Eshet, or eshet, is from isha, meaning wife, and notice in construct it becomes eshet with the final tav, and then with two nouns in construct we put of between them, the wife of your neighbor. Reach, reach means neighbor again. It's a noun, masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular in the cha. And notice the segol is your helping vowel to get us to the final cha. So the wife of your neighbor you do not covet, nor, that here is the conjunction, and we can translate it nor his male servant, his manservant. Eved is the word for male servant, and notice O is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and the noun is in construct with O, the pronominal suffix. So Eved becomes Avd, and basically it means nor his servant. So here you're not to covet the servant of your neighbor, which would have been very applicable in that time frame. And so anything that belongs to our neighbor, we don't covet, applying it to today. Va'amato, nor his male or female servant, his handmaid. Notice, or maid servant. Notice the va is the conjunction and, translated nor here, and then ama means maid servant, and amat is in construct with the pronominal suffix third masculine singular in the o. So nor his maid servant, nor his ox. Ve is the conjunction meaning nor, and shor is the noun that means ox, and o is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So you don't covet his ox, nor the chamora, nor his ass. Chamor is the noun that means ass. And notice, again, this is in construct with the pronominal suffix o, third masculine singular. So, nor his ass, his donkey, nor anything, the whole, nor all, or anything. Here we have a noun, and whole, meaning the totality, which, relative pronoun in asher, belongs to your neighbor. Le is the inseparable preposition to, and the noun is reach, again meaning neighbor, and notice it's in construct again with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So, the Torah says in the Ten Commandments, you do not covet the wife of your neighbor, his servant, his female servant, his ox, nor his ass, nor anything which belongs to your neighbor. So one of the things that we must say, we don't covet another person's house, a person's swimming pool, we could say today, a person's car, or whatever a person might have. We're not to be covetous and desire that. We're to desire the best for others, but not to be covetous for ourselves in possessing what belongs to another. It was the Apostle Paul, in an interesting text in Romans chapter 7, who said, I really read Torah, and I was alive. The rabbis said, if you have a yetzerah, a bad thought, you over against a yetzer tov, a good thought, the way to drive it away is study Torah. Get into the Torah, and it will get rid of the bad thought. Well, Paul says, I tried that, but then I was alive for a while, but when I came to the commandment, you shall not covet, lo tachmod, I coveted, and I realized what a covetous person I was. And the law that was meant to be life to me brought death to me. And so, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? Paul goes on to say his ultimate deliverance comes in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, who enables him with his new nature to walk according to God's standard of righteousness. Torah alone would not do it. It tells one what one should be like, but one needs empowerment to fulfill that, which is what the Holy Spirit does. So these five commandments are a summary of the horizontal relationship that believers are to have, that Israel was to have, and we as believers are to have today in following our Lord. I believe it looks at his very nature, at the very nature of God. He opposes these things. He opposes violence. He opposes adultery and stealing and lying and coveting. His nature is seen in these commandments. And so, in a summary, we're not to do violence to anyone. We're not to to do adultery to anyone. And Jesus would say, don't even hate in our hearts, or we do internal violence toward another person, not even to think something that would be a lusting kind of thought for someone. We're not to do that. We're not to steal. And all of these things, we're not to covet, and we're to bear true witness to others. This is really the standard of what God's character wanted his people to be like, and what he wants us to be like today. May we be like this with the help of the Holy Spirit, And may we follow the teaching of Christ and apply this Torah to ourselves in every area, including the interior part of our thinking and of our inner thought life.